it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Amplified says, I like it even better, flee from you in terror. See, he cannot use the spiritual weapons that we have to stop him. If we consistently and without backing off lift up the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, Jesus crucified, which reminds the devil of his defeat, it says that he will flee from us. I want him to flee from me, not because of who I am, but because of Jesus who lives in me. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we have the power to resist the devil, and he has to flee. However, the word also can flee. If we give up in the middle of a faith walk and give up on the word of God and flee to an easier way of doing things, the word of God can flee out of our hearts, and we're totally dependent on our natural circumstance. I believe fear has a great impact on our minds and on our hearts sometimes. And I was delivered from fear, but it's a weak area in my life. I have to continually guard that area of my life. And I had just a week ago, I had such a fear attack. And I actually marched. I was by myself in here. I marched at hall. And it's spiritual battle on my own, walking and marching through that hallway, back and forth, quoting the word of God, standing on the promises of God. But eventually, I called up Bob and Lorraine. I said, I need you to pray for me because I cannot stand on this thing by myself. And they prayed, and I shared with Nick that night, and I was totally delivered again. But you know, that is true. Fear will get a hold of us. Fear is false evidence that appears real. We need to be aware of that. It's false evidence that appears real. And it wants us to think things will never change. It'll always be the same. When the ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus and said, if you will come and lay your hands on my daughter, she's close to death, but I believe that when you lay your hands on her, she will live. But then Jesus got sidetracked by another woman who had an issue of blood. Isn't that nice? Jesus doesn't get sidetracked anymore because he's omnipotent. He can be with that woman with the issue of blood and with me if I have sickness in my body. But then somebody came from his house and he said, don't bother the master anymore because she's dead. But as soon as Jesus heard that, he turned around to the man and said, be not afraid, only believe. Why is that? Because fear activates the devil. Faith activates God. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to always stay out of fear and be in faith. And that takes work. For any of you that struggle with that at all. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is believing what the devil can do. Faith is believing what God can do. Second Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But then it tells us how to do it. It says, casting down imaginations. If you ever imagined something, I'm good at imagining. I've got a great imagination. I can imagine some pretty horrible things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, to do that verse is hard work. It's not just simple. Because I don't know, I'm sure your mind is no different than mine, but when I'm believing God for something, my mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. There's no speed limit on my mind. I can have imaginations and thoughts and reasonings and all kinds of stuff going on here in this head. But it says we are to cast them down. We need to replace them with the thoughts of God. Philippians says, think on those things which are of a good report, which have life in them, which are honorable and which are good, and all those kind of things. That's hard work. And it takes lots of exercise to do that. The words we speak are very important. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings out that which is good. And an evil man out of his evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So it's important to hide the word of God in our heart. So when pressure comes on us, it's the word of God that comes out of us. And not what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're doing. You know, blah, 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 blah. We don't want any of that. We want to speak out of the abundance of our heart. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So in order for us to not be concerned about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. A lot of times we think about the prayer and supplication, but we don't think about the thanksgiving. If we can give thanks for something, it's like we've already received it, right? If somebody says, well, I'll give you a car, and I know that I'm not going to say, hey, thanks for the car. But if it's somebody who's honorable and that I know is going to give me a car, before I get it, I say, hey, thanks. That's great. But you see, we know God's promises are yes and amen. So how do we pray and supplicate with thanksgiving? We do it this way. We remind God of his promises. Lord, I just thank you that your healing power is flowing through my body. I give you praise and glory that your word is true, that you do not lie, that you do not change. Whatever you've promised me is mine. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for supplying all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we're praying, supplicating, and giving thanks. We can do that because we know God's word is true. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken with the words of your mouth. So the words we speak are very important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When we used to foster, and we had a meeting every 2 weeks where we had, you know, would discuss any problems that we had a hard time to deal with. We'd come in there and people would say, how are you doing? I said, we're doing excellent. Well, how are you really doing? We're doing excellent, but how are you really doing? See, people cannot handle it. When you're not crying every ache and every pain and every complaint you've got, you got to speak, was always everything excellent? No, sometimes we struggle. But, you know, we knew where to take our struggle. And that means you can go, like I went to Bob and Lorraine with my struggle. You know, you can share, but share with someone who has the ability to help you, stand with you, like Moses and Aaron and Joshua, when they held up Moses' hands for the battle. When the battle was too much and his arms went down, they came alongside and held them up. We can do that with one another. But don't just go, everybody who wants to listen to you, oh, this is so awful. You know, talk to people who will be able to encourage you and stand with you because we're part of a body. But don't squawk and complain about every little thing that's bothering you. We do not understand faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's important for us to have hope. If you cannot see yourself coming through, you've lost hope. You know, we are sometimes struggling with people that are trying to walk in faith, but they have absolutely no hope left. Faith gives substance to hope. Hope is future. Hope is always future. Faith is now. Faith takes now what you're hoping for and brings it into the natural. But, you know, it comes with faith and patience. If we saw things right away, you know, God would be like a sugar daddy. But sometimes we have to battle things through to get to the end of the goal. So when all the storms rage that you're standing, well, I'm believing God, how come all this is happening to me? Hey, the enemy wants to shake your faith. He wants to. It says about Peter that Jesus prayed for Peter. He says, Satan has desire to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. You know, Jesus is praying for us that our faith will not fail. But sometimes it seems like everything in our life is being shaken that can be shaken. We need to get out of our passive attitude towards our relationship with the Lord and become on fire and committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because he is the only one with the answer. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you've received them, how are you going to act? You know, a lot of times we don't act like we've received it. I know there was a time that I had problem with my hips, and I got almost to the point where I lost hope, because my mother had arthritis in her hips, and they said she would be in a wheelchair when she was 50. Well, that didn't happen. But anyway, she was in a wheelchair when she was 93. But anyway, you know, it's funny, but when something lasts for a long time, you can start seeing pictures of yourself always having this. And that's the battle that goes on in our mind with anything that has been going on in our bodies for a long time. We tend to lose hope. We may still be trying to walk in faith, but we have lost hope. We need to realize that hope, God wants to restore our hope in his word. And so then one day I was we were having full gospel businessmen that night, and it was so bad. I couldn't hardly stand up for praise and worship anymore. I was in pain all the time. And I was driving somewhere. And, you know, at that time, we went through different phases of the charismatic movement. But people would say, well, I don't want that person to pray for me because look at the mess they're in. I don't want to get what they've got, you know. And I said, Lord, how can I pray for anybody? Because Ralph always wanted me up there to help him pray for individuals. How can I pray when I have such trouble standing up and I'm such a mess? And the Lord asked me a question. He says, when did you receive? And immediately out of me, when I prayed. You see, I prayed almost a year before. Was it manifested in my body? No, it wasn't. But, you know, I never thought about it again, and it was 2 weeks later, I was totally gone. Totally gone, never, ever came back. But it's we receive it when we pray. It may not manifest itself right away, but we believe what the Word of God says. He says, when you pray, when you ask me, believe that you've received it. Why? Because His Word is good. He's a God of integrity. He's faithful. He always, whatever He promises is yes, and so be it. So we can believe that we've received it, and we shall have it. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That is, that we know that Jesus died and paid for our sin. That we don't have this sin consciousness all the time. That I am such an unworthy sinner, I don't know if God wants to do it for me. No, nothing that we do will make us holy and acceptable to God. But only the finished work at Calvary, only what Jesus has done, has made us the righteousness of God, has sprinkled our heart from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. How is that? By saturating in the Word of God. We're constantly being washed by the Word of God. That means that if we sin, which we do, we are the righteousness of God. Our heart is righteous before God. It's holy. It does not sin. But our body is used to doing certain things, and we do sin. But then Jesus has made a way for us, and He says, when you confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can stand holy and perfect before God all the time. If we pretend we didn't make, well, there's no way I could make a mistake because I'm holy and righteous. No, that's not true. Our spirit is holy and righteous as it ever do. If our bodies do things that are wrong, we need to confess that. And then it says He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just a little bit, all of it. So that is so important to know. Then it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? I mean, we heard last week, we're talking in the cafeteria this morning, there was earthquakes in places that they don't usually have earthquakes. We have tornadoes all over the creation. The world is shaking. We better know that the day is approaching that Jesus returns. It says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with those of like mind. You say, oh, you're putting condemnation on me. No, I'm not. But I'm challenging you that this is the day that as a body we need to draw closer together. We need to be about our Father's business. And yeah, there's a lot of good things out there. There's sports, there's entertainment, there's all kinds of fun things to do. But a lot of it wants to draw us away from the presence of God. We cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together with those of like mind. You say, well, I've done enough Bible studies. I know everything that goes on. No, it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I sometimes shake a little bit because when Ralph quit the evening services, he said it was good because families could have more family time. But now I find some people stay away morning services because they want family time. What better family time is being together in church as a family, worshiping God together, and being here so that we can encourage one another to good work, provoking one another to do what God's called us to do. It's important. It's not a light thing. We need to provoke each other to good works. And if you think I'm meddling, I am. Hebrews 10:35 and 36. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, there are conditions. It says in 3 John, the third verse, I think. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That's God's will for you. He wants you to prosper and he wants you to be in health. But there's a condition. Even as your soul prospers. So, you know, a lot of times we're so busy making these few years, which the Bible says are just a shadow, are so important that we fill our whole life with the things that are perishable and very little time with the things that are eternal. And God wants to bless us. He wants us to be dynamic Christians who are going to affect the world that's out there. Each one of you is being called to ministry out there. Where you work, your sphere of influence is where God has called you. Be about the Father's business and also be here together as we see that day approaching, as we hear the rumblings, as we see the shaking that's going on in every area of our lives. Let us draw closer to Him, closer to one another, so that when we struggle, we can hold up each other's hands and walk in faith. God bless you. Let's pray. And if anybody needs prayer, we're here for you. I'm going to ask Bob to come up. And Father, I praise you and I thank you that your word is truth. Lord, that all your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your desire is to meet every problem, every struggle, every area of weakness in anybody's life today. Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of healing, wholeness, safety, protection, everything that we are in need of. Today, if we will hear your voice and not harden our heart and say, oh, well, we've heard this before. Lord, if we will not harden our heart, you will accomplish that which you have said in your word you would do. So, Lord, I just thank you for everyone that's here today. I thank you, Lord, that not one will go home the same way as they came, in Jesus' name. So we're going to sing, and anybody need